Acts, the 12th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Just going to read some verses here, then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the impossible dream. Amen. How about your impossible dream? Anybody got any dreams in here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are dreaming a genie? We want to pray for you right after the service. Amen. Unless your wife's name is Jeannie. Amen. Hallelujah. Stay with me, Jack. Stay with me. Amen. It's going to be all right. Tell somebody next to you, it's going to be all right. God is in control. Yeah, yeah. God is doing great things. God is doing great things. Whew. Praise God. Acts, the 12th chapter, begin with the first verse. The Holy Spirit speaking through the apostles in the book of Acts here, he says this: "Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, or the Passover celebration. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made." Somebody say, "But prayer was made." Yeah, don't underestimate the power of prayer, and corporate prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. A quaternion is, each one has four soldiers, so there were 16 soldiers for the four watches of the night there. Two were prison to him, which he was prison between, and two watched and guarded him. Okay? "And behold, the angel came upon him," verse 7, "and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side," amen, smacked him on the side, "and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision," thought he was having a vision, thought he was dreaming. "When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She left him standing there. And they said unto her, thou art mad." You lost your mind, girl. "But she constantly affirmed," amen, "that it was even so." And then they said, "It is an angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were surprised. There was a Gomer Pyle moment. Surprise, surprise. "But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison." Would you say with that with me? How the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Yeah, let's have a word of prayer. That's what we're focusing on this morning. Hallelujah, the Lord bringing us out of the prison. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. You sent your word and you healed us and delivered us everyone. We thank you in the word is the power of God. The power to comfort us, to help us, to show us, to speak to us, to heal us, to bless us. Father, I thank you for your word that's going forth. Bless each one now as they have come, Father, in response and obedience to your word and to your call. to come and to receive a word for their day, for their week, for their life. Come and make it a word that is well worth their time, Lord God, I pray. Somehow cover me, somehow use me, somehow move, Father, in this moment now, through me, around me, in spite of me, whatever it takes. Get to these waiting, hungry hearts the word that you have for them, what they need to hear. Not even necessarily what I might say, but what you would say to them. Let us hear what the Spirit would say unto your church today. Father, I'll give you the praise and give you the glory. Thank you for hiding us, covering us. We thank you, Father, for blessing us, protecting us. Help us now, we pray, and minister to us. Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Today, we again pick up our God-given theme for 2015, doing the impossible. Your year of the impossible made possible. How many have already had an impossible year already, and it's only 1st of March? How many have had some impossible things happening? Come on, talk to me, church. Amen. And our world is facing impossible things that are unbelievable as we watch and behold the spectacle. And how many know God is moving? God is getting the nations ready. God, Jesus is coming. Amen. Don't worry about Third World War. Don't worry about what this and that and Israel that. Jesus is coming. He's helping us to get ready and making us ready. He's moving everything together so his kingdom will come. How many know his kingdom will be a kingdom of peace and righteousness, right things, and I can't wait for his kingdom to come. Can you? Amen. Take care of all this madness. Yeah. And it's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And the Lord is bringing it all together, so don't be afraid. It's happening just like he said it would. Amen. It's kind of hard not to fear sometimes as we see the things happening. But I believe there's just enough time for you to get married. Come on, somebody talk to me. I've sat where you sat when I was about your age, whatever age that is. I was young. I thought, man, Jesus is going to come, and I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to be able to do anything. How many ever sat in church and that came across your mind? Amen. Preacher was talking, it sounded like he was coming the next day. Amen. Hallelujah. But we do have to be ready, do we not? Yeah, and what God has is wonderful. It's beyond our imagination, believe me. Amen. So we're in that theme that God has given us, this God-given theme. As the church, we took off the month of February, as you know, for the celebration of love. And now we pick up here and continue here in the month of March with the message for today, the impossible dream. We saw previously how the Bible is full of people, all kinds of accounts of people who did the impossible. I may know we have a lot of people here this morning, if not everyone, that are doing the impossible. It's Mission Impossible. You ever watch the program? Amen. It was a pretty good program. A little far out in some areas, but Mission Impossible, kind of related to our life, amen. And many of you here today are in Mission Impossible, and already what you have done has really been an impossible work, God helping you and leading you and guiding you and giving you wisdom. And we saw previously how the Bible, being full of people and accounts of people doing the impossible, still happening today, still happening right now, and God working with them and for them in the things thought impossible. Amen. God is working, and no matter what, how impossible it may look to you today and seem and be, God is in you, God is with you, and you will do the impossible. I said, you will do the impossible. God said to tell you, as he told me, as he told Abraham, you will do the impossible. Tell somebody next to you, you really will do the impossible this year. And you probably don't even realize you've already been doing it, but it's going to get even more pronounced as this year goes by. Amen. This is quite a year. It's a special year. And God is doing some unique things. Amen. Working the impossible. Like having a baby at 100 years old, 90 years old with Sarah and Abraham. His wife looking so fine that the king wanted her for his harem at 90 years old. How many know that's fine? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he wandered there, and I tell you what, ladies, you ought to high-five each other and tell one another, you get better and more beautiful the older you get. Go on, high-five a lady next year. Somebody high-five them. You get better with age. Hallelujah. You get better with age. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody believe that. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Beautiful. And then we got water walking Peter. We saw him. And sky walking Moses and Elijah and Enoch. Amen. We didn't get to Luke Skywalker, but you've already watched him on TV, on the movies. So, amen. But we did get the ones in the Bible here. Enoch, who walked with God and was not because God took him. And then we see Hannah and the mother of Samuel and the miracle there, doing the impossible, having a baby after so many years. And Elizabeth and the baby, the miracle baby, and the prophetess Deborah and Jael. How many have ever read about Jael, who nailed King Sisera to the ground with a tent stake? Just to name a few. I think for the men's sake, though, I better skip Jael, don't you? Amen. All right. I didn't get an amen on that, men, but it would be good if you amen that. And hide all the tent stakes. Amen. Knives at the same time would help. Now, for a modern day 21st century 2015 demonstration of someone doing the impossible, you can see our tech specialist, one of our tech specialists, Jonathan Sieber, back there, and he's come back from a major stroke at 30 years of age, which paralyzed the whole right side of his body, and he's come back nearly 100% today. Amen. And in our sound booth, praise God, with his beautiful wife, Candace, and that angel of a daughter, Alexandria. Tell your neighbor, you too will do the impossible. Yeah. He is an example. He is a witness. He is a sign to us. I said he is a sign to us that no matter how much of a blow you take from the enemy and no matter how much of a hit you may take from Satan, I want to tell you, and it does happen. The enemy does cause some blows at times in our lives. Are you hearing me? But God wants you to know that if a man can come back from a major stroke at 30 years old, you can come back from any stroke the devil puts on you. Hallelujah. I said you can come back, make a comeback, coming back, and be stronger than you ever were before. Amen. Amen. What almost kills you, well, in the end, God will use to bless you. Amen. I may know we have some things that almost kill us in areas. It may not just be physically. It can be emotionally and, amen, relationally. And, you know, some things can really take us out and do a number on us sometimes. Life. I may know life has some pain. We know life has some painful moments. Huh? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Life has some painful moments. But that's what I love about the loving kindness of the Lord. He puts love, he puts kindness and love together and gives us loving kindness. And he says, loving kindness, my loving kindness is better than life. It's better than what life can hand you. It's better than life, even the good and the bad. Hallelujah. His loving kindness is greater than life. Thus will I bless him. Thus will I give him praise. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank God for the loving kindness of the Lord. Because life is not always going to treat you good. I said, life is not always going to be good to you. Somebody asked me, you know, they ask me from time to time, how's life treating you? Well, I don't know about life, but God's treating me real good. You don't want to know about life treating me, because sometimes life not treating me too good. But the life giver is treating me real good. Hallelujah. Are you still there? And so if you think you're going to get through life without going through some pain, then we are in a fantasy world. Uh-huh. But aren't you glad God's the healer of broken hearts and binds up our wounds? Matter of fact, he told me, he said, I will restore you and I will heal you of your wounds. There's not a person in here today that hasn't been wounded. I said, there's not a person that hasn't been wounded in this church right now. Some of you have taken blows that are unbelievable. You have taken hits that it's amazing, and it's a miracle you're still standing. It's a miracle you're still here. It's a miracle that either you haven't gone out of your mind or you didn't perform a lumbotomy on somebody else. Hallelujah. See, we got to loosen up a little bit because life gets kind of stark. It gets kind of serious. Are you hearing me? I've had a serious week, but I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to let the devil get anything on me. I come around the corner this last week and I was looking Friday night, it was dark, looking for the sign there on 6th Street. The Lord, when we did that road several years ago, which was pretty good at that time, now we need some pavement on it, but We put about $6,000 what we had left on some money we had that had been donated to church, and finished restoring the church and painting it and doing all that. And then we did that road. And the city, there was just a sign down there that said Avenue L. There was no 6th Street East there. And so I was looking at one of the brothers in the church had a sign company, and I was getting him to make a sign for us. Well, before he could make it, the city had come by and put sign up 6th Street East. Thought, well, we must be on the map now. Amen. We must be on the map over here. My God. Well, I come in around there Friday night, and I looked for the sign. It's kind of dark, on that Avenue right there. So I kind of use that as a marker to turn in. Amen. So I don't run off in the desert. And I said, I made the turn, come in. I said, where's the sign? You ever wondered where the sign is? You're looking for a sign. It ain't there. So I stopped. I kind of turned the car around. I shined my lights. I said, somebody stole the sign. What in the name of Jesus? So I got out and looked over there. I said, well, somebody just took the whole blame thing. So I took my grandson the next Saturday morning. We came back over. I said, I think it was one was inside there. He said, no. He said, somebody cut it off. I said, how do you know so much? You ever wonder how some of your grandchildren know more than you do? Yeah. At least they think they do. Sometimes they do. I hate to admit that. So I looked and somebody had hacksawed it off. It's tough enough finding this place like it is. Bless some demon possessed. And I don't know of any enemies I have right now. I mean, I didn't cuss. I didn't cuss anybody out. I don't do that. Amen. Didn't, as far as I know. Trying to think who might be upset, The only one I could figure out was the devil. But I mean, that's a good sign the devil's upset with you. That means you're doing something good. That means something's happening. Now, we'll call the city Monday morning, tomorrow morning. We'll get another sign out there. Amen. And I may camp out there and watch to see who the Yahoo is that wants to cut off my sign. I don't want to do that because I want to stay in the spirit. So I don't know what I would do for him. Amen. To help him. Pray for him. There must be something about you all that makes the devil mad. Huh? You all must have something from God. There must be something in this church. I don't see anybody else's sign getting hacksawed. Kind of makes us feel important, don't it? They would say we're impotent, but we're important to God. God must be up to something. Huh? I said, God must be up to something. Wow. Sometimes we don't think we're that important. But how many know you're more important than you think you are to God and his purposes, to his church, to the work? Look at somebody next to you and say, you're more important than you think you are. You sure are. You count more than you think you count. The devil tells you you're insignificant. It doesn't matter what you do. Are you just doing that? What does that mean? That means a lot. It means a lot to God. It means a lot to the work of God. It means a lot to the kingdom of God. Are you with me? So you all must be, the Lord said, don't say you was bad, but you must be bad. Good. Bad good. I say, Lord, there must be something better, bigger than what I'm realizing. I just thank God they didn't come out here and do something else. But we got our caretaker Israel. He's got his 45 loaded, and he takes care of any opposition that comes around here. Well, his 45 is the word of God. Amen. Sister Anita here was making sure he didn't mistake her for a burglar at night, Yeah. Thank you, Lord. But how many know when things like that, they have a tendency to get you down a little bit? Huh? We're already going through so much already. And then I'm going to know the devil has to put a little bit more on you. Twist it a little bit more. Do something a little bit more. Something you wasn't expecting. Huh? But I may know I like what Pastor May, what First Lady was doing. She took out after that devil this morning, didn't she? I said she took out after that devil this morning. She told him, you got to pay it all back. My God, we may have 10 signs out there with every arrow pointing over here, bless God. Mess with us. Hallelujah. We're going to get so many signs in town, we have them on every corner. This is the way to glad tidings. This is the way. He tore all them signs up too. I tell you, them devils don't like us. But they're not supposed to, are they? If the devil likes you, you got a problem. So I guess we're pretty important here. Amen. We must be a threat to something in the demonic realm to attract that kind of attention. Huh? You must be very important to attract the kind of attention you've been attracting. To be going through some of the trials you're going through. To having some of the tests that you have in your life. The Lord comforted me with that scripture. God is working all things together for good in our lives. Amen. We have to remember that. It's all working together for good because we love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen. How many know that compared to people getting their heads cut off really isn't anything? I'm talking about a sign getting cut off. And we're facing things that were with people getting their heads cut off. So you got to put things in perspective before you get to feeling sorry for yourself. Come on. Don't tell me you haven't had a pity party once in your life. I've had a few. I invited people. They didn't want to come. They don't want to come. Yeah. So I just had to sing "It's My Party" and I'll cry if I want to. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So there's some real things going on. And that doesn't minimize what's going on in your life. I said I'm not minimizing what's happening in your life. Because those things are critical also. Amen? And everything says something. So I thank God for His protection and what He's doing to help us. Amen. And see us through. Today we want to focus on Peter's impossible dream coming true. His amazing deliverance from that and those which had imprisoned him. And I may know you can be imprisoned by things and situations and even people. Are you hearing me? Situations that confine you and restrict you. And we want to see how his deliverance from that and those which are in prison and how the Lord brought him out. Amen. Tell somebody, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of this prison. I'm coming out of this restriction. I'm coming out of this confinement. I'm coming out of everything you've done. Amen. I'm coming out of everything the devil's done through you and whatever's going on. I'm coming out. I said, we're coming out. Amen. If they can come out of the closet, we can come out of anything the devil's trying to do to us. Amen. Well, thank Brother Raymond for fixing the closet. Amen. So many people come out of that closet in the lobby when the door was hanging off. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, no church is a good place to come out of the closet. That was not the message this morning, but I don't think we're going to continue in that area. Amen. Hallelujah. So God sent me today to talk to people, to talk to you who feel imprisoned, who are restricted, who are limited, who are captive and confined within certain limits. I want to talk to you about the place or places of confinement where you feel shut up, detained, hemmed in, enclosed, surrounded, where you're impeded, you're hindered, you're blocked, you're thwarted, where you've had to live with that which is unacceptable and unbearable, imprisoned, impossible situations, seemingly no way out, stuck. Ever feel like you're stuck? Peter's imprisonment and the miraculous release has something to say to every one of us here today and those listening via the podcast on the internet. And so I want us to look just for a moment, take a closer look at the verses I just read. And let's see what might speak to us in our situations today. Things you face and may have had and have to face and have had to live with on a daily basis and still are dealing with. There are things that are not resolved yet and things that are on their way and situations. Verse 1, look at verse 1 with me. And now about that time, Herod, how many know Herod? Is a type of the devil. Herod was a devil. This Herod was the son, I believe, the grandson of the Herod that killed all the children in Bethlehem. Herod the Great. Nothing great about that Herod. Amen. And so we see a king that's most likely demon-possessed. And I may know people do have demonic possessions and demonic obsessions and demonic behavior. I may know a lot of people that are doing what they're doing is inspired by the devil. The Lord and God's Spirit would never treat you like that, would never do that to you. And so we see the influence of the enemy in people's lives that are not walking with the Lord and have done whatever they have done and allowing the enemy to use them, and then you become the one that they vex. He said he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Not everybody's being vexed today, but somebody's being vexed. Are you hearing me? That one sitting next to you, it may not be their season for vexation, but it's somebody. Somebody sitting close by. Amen. Vexing. I don't like that word. It means irritate, anger, to grieve, to vex. They get on your nerves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do more than just get on your nerves. They get in your pocketbook. They cost you money. They cost you time of your life, savings and things you worked hard for, and all of a sudden in a moment wiped out because you've got to address some demonic, stupid thing that hadn't got the brains God gave a gnat. I've never examined a gnat, but can't have too much up there. Amen. But they got more than some people I know. Nobody here, of course. Verse 2, and he killed James. Man, you're killing me, brother. You're killing me. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, to the Jews, the sword was especially grievous. When you were killed by the sword, it was a real insult. To be killed is an insult anywhere you go, but with the sword, amen. I mean, no, dead is dead, and alive is better. So he killed the apostle James, John's brother. This is not the half-brother of Jesus. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, I mean, no, the devil gets off on stuff that hurts people. He gets off on people being hurt and being abused and being talked to wrong, and amen. And so you can't treat a devil with a devil. You've got to treat those things with the Word of God. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despise you. You've got to do. We've got to have that. I asked the Lord just yesterday. I said, Lord, how do I respond to this? Because I want to respond to it in my flesh. And I really don't want to respond at all. I don't even really want to talk to this person. You ever had somebody you don't want to talk to? I mean, it's really bad when it's you. So you don't say anything. You're just quiet. I said, God, help me. How do I respond to something that has betrayed, something that has been such a blow? How do I respond to that when somebody acts like nothing ever happened? You ever had somebody act like nothing ever happened? And I just turned to something, I don't know if it was a devotion or something, a word or something the Lord led me to. I mean, it's good to look in the Word somewhere. And God talked about Calvary's love. He talked about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, no, God will answer you when you ask him how to act. Because sometimes we don't know how to act. And if I act the way I want to act, it's not good. Because usually that'll get you into more trouble. Amen. And I don't need any more trouble. I got enough trouble. So I don't want to escalate it. I want to de-escalate. I want to tone it down. I want to be able to be free. I said, I want to be free. And this thing is trying to imprison me. And so I knew exactly what to do. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, ask for Calvary's love. Calvary's love that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, I never believed that, really. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No, those yardbirds know what they're doing. Those idiots know what they're doing. Those who know what they're doing. How many felt that they knew what they were doing? They did it to you. They knew what they were doing. But they didn't really know what they were doing. If they really knew what they were doing to themselves by what they were doing to you, they would not have done it. He said they would not have, even the devil would not have crucified the King of Glory if he'd have known what was going on in that situation. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're bringing on themselves. They don't know what the enemy is doing in that situation. And so, Father, thank you for Calvary's love. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for Calvary's love. Fill me with Calvary's love. Fill me with the love of Calvary to love them and to speak in a way that is loving and kind. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we see that this pleased the Jewish leaders because of what King Herod was doing to the Christians there. And he arrested Peter. People get off on hurting people sometimes. They feel better about themselves. It's a demonic thing. Are you hearing me? And so he was so happy what he saw. Somebody else was, yeah, get him, that he went and arrested Peter, verse 3, during the Passover celebration. In verse 4, and imprisoned him, placing him under a guard of 16 soldiers to the Jews for execution after the Passover the next day. But, verse 5, but, somebody say but. Yeah, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but. You may be kept in prison, but. But what? But prayer was made. Hey, whatever prison you're in, prayer needs to be made. Somebody needs to pray for people. Corporate prayer. You have no idea what the power in corporate prayer. It brought the impossible dream to pass for Peter. Prayer is a powerful thing. Usually it's the last thing we do, when it really should be the first thing we do. But prayer was made. Peter was put into prison. We get put in prison-like situations. And God help us if nobody praying. Amen. Thank God for a praying church. Thank God for praying people. Thank God for the avenue of prayer. And thank God if nobody's praying for you. You ever felt like there was not a soul in the world knew where you were at, cared where you were at, praying for you, or even thought about you? Have you ever been there? Come on. And you know, sometimes I think it's true. We live in a pretty uncaring world. Even many Christians are so busy, they don't really have time. When was the last time you got on your knees? And I don't mean just to pick up your socks, amen. Tie your shoes. Kick the dog. Hopefully you're not kicking the dog, amen. Dogs bite. But earnest prayer was going up to God from the church. Somebody say, from the church. Yeah, it needs to come from the church for his safety all the time he was in prison. Brother Culverson, Dr. Culverson told me before he left on his last evangelistic revival, he said when he came back, he wants to have an all-night prayer meeting. I've been thinking for several months, many months, about an all-night prayer meeting. And he was talking about praying maybe from 8 o'clock at night to midnight. Amen, just laying out, just praying, doing whatever God leads us to do in here. And I'm on board with that, doctor. Amen. How many on board with that? Just to come out and have an all-night prayer meeting. Amen. Well, it's really 4 hours, but it'd be like all night. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm getting with you, doctor, and we're gonna get that on the calendar. Amen. Get that on the schedule. I felt like God's gonna use that. How many know anytime a church does that, God usually moves through that in some real special ways. Yeah. Yeah. And he moves Wednesday night in a real special way. Thank God for at least the little bit of prayer that we get by a little bit of people. Amen. Hallelujah. So earnest prayer was going up. Earnest. Uh-huh. Not just bless them, Lord. I'm sorry they're in prison. Too bad. So sad. Come on. Bless them, Lord. Help them, Jesus. No, it was made without ceasing. When somebody's in a prison-like situation, we need to be praying for them. And we got some people in prisons in this church, and we got to keep praying for them. Amen? Linda Owens is one of them. We got to keep praying. Amen. Devil's trying to take her out. We want to keep you praying for them. Amen. Others have been going through serious situations. Deaconess Linda, Deaconess Cheryl. There's others. I could name a bunch of people this morning, but just ask the Lord to show you who to pray for, and maybe we'll get a list too. Amen. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Two chains? I may know one chain is bad enough. Now we got two chains. Yeah. You ever had more than one thing? One chain would have done it, but two chains is almost too much. The devil did not want him to get away. Huh? Two chain Charlie. I may know the devil does the same thing even in this hour. Some people don't just have one chain. They got two chains. I mean, the enemy's on both sides. He's moving to take them out. Are you hearing me? The enemy's not playing around, and we aren't either. I say we're not playing games either. This is serious business. Verse 7. Bound with two chains, two were chained to him, and two were watching him. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Thank God for the ministry of angels. I said, thank God for the ministry of angels. In these last days, we are hearing more and more about the ministering spirits that have gone forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. God is moving, amen, in response or beyond anything the devil is doing. God is giving visions, coming to the Muslim people, saving them. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but he's coming to us, angels, unawares. And you're going to have more of a ministry of angels coming as the church gets closer to coming along, because the demonic is arising greater and greater. Hordes from hell have been released. Revelation talks about this happening. The devil knows he has a short time, and so things have escalated. Anybody can see that. How many know if it escalates out there, you need to escalate in here? You can't keep doing the same thing you've been doing. We know that saying. We keep hearing it. I'm so sick of hearing it, aren't you? If you do the same thing, shut up. I'm tired of hearing that. But it's true. We've got to let the Lord lead us and guide us into doing more than what we did yesterday to meet the greater assault of today and tomorrow. You can't, matter of fact, some are not even doing as much as they were. They're doing less. Boy, that's a real trap. That's the trick of the devil. Are you doing as much today, right now, as you did when before the pressure was on, before you went through the trial? Most of the time, we will do less. That is the truth of the matter. And so we have to press in. Amen. Because I don't want the same results, do you? I don't want to keep doing the same thing and getting the same result. And so I've got to step up my game. Yeah. Come on. Block and tackle, kick. Amen. Because I'm serious. I've got an adversary who's serious, and I've got to be as serious or more serious than he is. I can't back off when he's moving in. I said we can't back off when he's moving in. That is not smart. Because you do that and he takes over. Are you hearing me? He takes over. That's what's happening in our nation. That's what's happening in our world right now. Amen. We've backed off. We don't want to. We're hesitant. We don't want to have to confront those things. It's too much. Costs too much. My friend, tell you this, if you don't confront evil and stop evil, evil will take over. You don't stop them cutting off heads there, they'll cut off heads here. Make no mistake about it. They are on a spiritual deal that thinks they're going to heaven for as many people as they kill. They are on a caliphate. They believe that's their religion, and they are so deceived. They think that the more they do, the more they're going to get. 72 virgins, my God. Couldn't even handle one virgin. What are you talking about? Hallelujah. Jesus. That's how demonic it is today. Jesus said they will kill you thinking they're doing God's service. They think this is God. And so we need to pray for our leaders that God will give them wisdom. But what I see is God is setting this thing up. Because the answer is not in a nation. It's not in America. The answer is in God. It's not in the Democrats. It's not in the Republicans. It's in God. I used to think that if we got that, that would be the answer and it'd be all right. Now, I don't have any confidence in that anymore. God is setting these things up. And the leader we have is by God's ordination. You say, why would God do that? Because of a people who have left God. And now he's using the world scene to bring the nations together. He's using the world scene to allow the Muslim thing to rise up. Amen. It's all coming to the Valley of Megiddo. Amen. In Israel. God's going to bring all the nations. They're all coming. The Islamic hordes and everything. Russia, you haven't read your Bible if you don't see prophecy being fulfilled. It's all happening just our decision, what we're doing, is causing the nations the vacuum, and now they're moving in a great way to taking over more and more territory and more and more. That's all part, I believe, of what God has said the end times. He's bringing it all. Yeah, we'll have a response, but it's almost too little too late because God's going to solve this. I said, God's going to solve this. Somebody said, we're already in World War III. I think it was Glenn Beck. Folks, I might even wrote a little book on it. We're already seeing World War III, already in the beginnings of it. The Bible talks about it. But I thank God for God. Whew. And I'm not afraid because I see it all lining up the way Revelation says it's going to line up, the way the prophet said it's going to line up. The nations are coming just like God said they would. He named all of them, just the ones you see now in the news. It's all, he said Russia would be doing what she's doing. She's going to come with the Muslim hordes. She's going to come against Israel. And God's going to wipe out 5/6 of all those armies. Tell you, we're in for some times, church. This thing is heading towards Armageddon. Whew. We've watched movies about it, but now we're living it. I said we're living it. And I don't know how many volunteered to live in this time. You said, hey, I want to live right then. Yeah. I don't know anybody said, yeah, pick me. No, no, don't pick me. No, pick her. I mean, pick him. You real brave. Yes, I am. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. I mean, no, it's one thing to be in prison, but it's another thing to be kept in prison. I said it's another thing to be kept in prison. It's one thing to get thrown into a prison, but when you're kept in that prison, that brings some real challenges. How many am I talking to today that have been kept in a prison? Come on, you're confined, you're not free, you're restricted. You're in a situation, you're impeded, kept in that prison. But prayer was made, amen, the night before, and there was, and then look at verse 7, when suddenly, verse 7, suddenly, and behold, suddenly the angel of the Lord came to him. There was a light in the cell. Oh, thank God for the light. I said, thank God for the light. Suddenly there was a light. I said, suddenly there was a light. Suddenly in all that darkness, there was a light. Suddenly an angel came and a light came on. Woo! Telling you, Jesus is the light and God has his angels and they know where to come to you in that darkness, in that prison, in those situations. And I'm telling you, lights are coming on. Light will come on and have come on, but they're going to come on greater because the need and the hour is more treacherous and harder than ever before and darker. We're in some dark times. The Bible says darkness is going to cover the whole face of the earth. I don't like that, do you? I wanted to tear that page out of my Bible. Isaiah 61. It's all right, dark enough. Why don't darkness cover the whole earth? But then God says, but hey, arise and shine because the glory of God is risen on you. Glory of God is on you. The glory is on you. Let it get dark. The glory of God is on us. We're shine, Jesus, shine. That was God's answer to Herod. That was God's answer to all the evil that people did, to all the thing, all the persecution was going on. What was their prayer in the book, I think the fourth book of Acts? He said they made their prayer in response to the Christians being crucified, being beheaded by Herods and all that. And they prayed, they said, shine, Jesus, shine. Stretch forth your hand. I may know light will dispel darkness. You turn the light on in your room, where's the darkness go? Our prayer needs to be, shine, Jesus. Shine in this dark place. Shine in this evil, demonic thing that's going on. Shine, Jesus. I like the song says, blaze, spirit, blaze. Flow, river, flow. But shine is the best one. I said, shine is the best one. I was burdened one day about the Clinton administration, what was going on there, and he was selling us out to the Russians and the Chinese, gave much of our secrets away in technology and their idea. They are so wrong-headed. Are you hearing me? God told me they're wrong-headed. He said, don't rail on them. Don't put them down. Just know that they're wrong-headed. They think that if everybody's equal in the world, everybody will get along. How many know that will not happen? The devil is not here to get along with people. He is here to dominate and control. and put into slavery every man and every woman. Amen. And so there's wrongheadedness, and that comes from people thinking they're God. God is in me. Yeah, he's in you if you're born again. He ain't in you if he ain't. The devil's in you. I said the devil's in you. Jesus said your father is of the devil, those religious people, those religious guys. How would you like the Lord to tell you, hey, your daddy's the devil? That might be a little bit insulting. I'd be a little offended with you if you said, hey, your father is the devil. And he says, the things that the devil does, he says, you're doing the things that your father does. He says, because he was a murderer from the beginning. He was trying to kill me. They said, we're not trying to kill you. You know, it's funny how people always say when you nail them, hey, you're trying to kill me. No, we're not trying to kill you. What are you talking about? They sure are. The devil's a murderer from the beginning. A liar. He can't tell the truth. You can't make a truce with the devil. I said, you can't make a truce with the devil. The devil will do anything to take a little pressure off you. He'll make a deal with you. Say, okay, I'll take a little pressure off here if you don't do this. You know, don't go to church so much and don't do this, don't do that. I'll take a little pressure off you. And he will. I may know he's made a lot of our rock stars. They sold their souls to the devil. Oh, yeah, it's real. My God. We're in a battle, are we? Somebody say, shine, Jesus. Yeah, shine, Lord. So a light shined in the prison. How many need a light to shine in a prison? And he smote Peter on the side. Yeah, Bible says, get up. He says he slapped him on the side to awaken him. He said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrist. How many know? If you'll get up, the chains will fall off. You got to get up. You got to get up. You can't stay down. You got to get up. Too many people are staying down. You got to get up. As long as you stay down, the chains are not coming off. He didn't say he didn't put the chains on him. He did. I'm not saying there ain't chains that get put on us sometimes. The Lord moves and allows certain things to happen. But when the light shines and God sends an angel and God shows you that I'm shining light. This is where the light is. This is what I'm telling you to do. And you don't do that. Don't get up. You don't arise. Well, I hate to think if he hadn't gotten up, don't you? I may know sometimes the Lord has to slap you on the side. Slap you upside the head. Come on. You got to arise. He smote him, said, raised him up, raised up. Arise up quickly, quickly. Rise up quickly. You don't want to wait. The longer you wait, the more imprisoned you'll be. Get up. Get going. Get in the devil's face even more. Hallelujah. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind. Put your shoes on. Put your, what are those sneakers? That basketball star? Yeah. Jordans. Put your Jordans on. Come on. And he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Now, this is the second time an angel has delivered him and the apostles. In the fifth chapter, in the 19th verse, you find that it's the second time an angel has got him out of prison. How many know you've gotten out of prison more than one time because God sent his angel? Thank you, Jesus. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true. Verse 9, Peter left the cell, found the angel, but all the time he thought it was a dream or a vision and didn't believe it was really happening. Verse 10, they passed the first and second cell blocks and came to the iron gate of the street, and this opened to them of its own accord. I mean, God has ways of opening things to you of its own accord. You don't have to push it. You don't have to pull. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pry. When God's ready to open something up, he'll open it up. God can open things. I don't care how big that gate is. I don't care how strong those bars are. When God sends his angel and he shines a light, you are coming out of there, and those gates will open by themselves. Shine, Jesus, shine. We need a light in here. Amen. Hallelujah. They opened to him of his own accord, and he went out and passed on. How many wish they could go out? They went out and passed on through one street. Then finally the angel said, okay, it's on you now. I'm gone. I got you out of here. Now what are you going to do? Amen. He finally realized what happened to him. He said, it's really true. He said to himself, the Lord has sent his angel and saved me from the Herod and from what the Jews were hoping to do to me. Aren't you glad that God will save you from what they're hoping to do to you? How many know that we're in a real battle and there are some real influences that want to do some things to you, hoping to do what they're hoping to do to you? Woo, thank you, Jesus. I can stop right there and we just praise the Lord for about the next half hour. The enemy does not have your best in mind. And some of those that are influenced by him do not either. Amen. Verse 11, Peter finally realized it. Verse 12, and after a little thought, he went to the home of Mary. I mean, no, he had to kind of shake himself. Think about this. There were many gathered for the prayer meeting. He knocked and then opened the door, and you heard the story, and then he recognized Peter's voice. She was so overjoyed, she left him standing there. Hallelujah. Open the door, girl. Man, let me in, yeah. He says, she went in there and told him, hey. They left him standing outside, and verse 15 says they didn't believe her. They said, you're out of your mind, girl. They said, and then when she insisted, I mean, no, sometimes you got to insist you're not out of your mind. And they said, when she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. And they must have killed him. I mean, no, a lot of times we're praying for things and we don't believe it when the answer comes. We say, well, I didn't believe. I can't believe that. We really ought to believe it, shouldn't we? What we're praying for, believe what you pray for, believe that you receive and you shall have it. It must be his angel. They must have killed him. So they knew he had an angel, a guardian angel. Verse 16, meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. Kept knocking, keep knocking. When they finally went out and opened the door, their surprise knew no bounds. Verse 17, he motioned for them to quiet down and told them what had happened and how the Lord had brought him out of jail. My God. I believe as we continue to agree together in prayer, we're going to have some stories of how God has brought some people out of some jails and some prisons. Because as sure as we're sitting here and God made little green apples, we have many prisons, confinement areas that are impeding and hindering what God wants for us. So I take from this, we probably need more prayer. Would you think we need some more prayer? Continuous, fervent prayer. How many believe we should get to prayer time, that we ought to make it a priority? We don't have very many of them, but we ought to make priority. We have to quit ignoring, quit putting ourselves first, unless there's extenuating circumstances. There's exceptions. How many think you're the exception to the rule? We all do. Yeah. We know you're an exception, brother. Don't worry. We love you, Eddie. We love you, buddy. Amen. But how many know today the exception of the rule has become the rule? And the enemy will always do that. He'll back you off once, then he'll back you twice. Pretty soon it's three. Pretty soon you're in a habit. They say it takes 21 days to form a habit. It takes 21 days to unform a habit. And once you get into a cycle, it's hard to break. I said it's hard to break. You really have to make up your mind. You really have to understand the times we're living in and what you're dealing with. And understand that you're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to do it with just your power. You're not going to do it with just your smarts and how brilliant you are. And you are. You are very capable and very talented and very, very, very know what to do and move. Very intelligent. But I'm telling you what, we're facing an enemy that is much more intelligent than you will ever be. Never minimize the adversary. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by His Spirit and do what He says. And every time we don't, we get weaker. Every time we do what He says, we get stronger. And we're either getting stronger or we're getting weaker. And you know how it is in the church? We get stronger, we get weaker. How many get tired of that? That? What is that? Magic Mountain. What is that? Roller coaster. I'm so old I forgot what a roller coaster was. Help me. Pray for me, sweetheart. Amen. I don't like them anyway. Amen. I like the little ones. Amen. The ones that don't do too bad. I didn't mind the cars at Disneyland. That was okay. Amen. I like that. And the Roadrunner, that was good. Amen. He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out. I just believe that we're going to have a lot of declaring how the Lord brought us out. We're going to have a declare, and I can't wait to hear how the Lord brought you out. I can't wait to hear how the Lord brought you out. Can't wait to hear how the Lord brings you out. Firstly, I don't care. Can't wait to hear how the Lord brings you out. Brings you out. Brings you out. Brings your family out. Brings you out. Woo! God, I feel the Holy Ghost all over me right now. You know why? Because I just spoke the truth to you. Can't wait to see how the Lord brings you out. Brings you out. Brings you out. He's bringing his church out. He's bringing his people out. We've been in a long time. We've been in some prison-like situations, some confinements. Come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know that better than I do. Now, the devil's lied to someone and said, it's never going to change. You're too old. Your time has passed. You had the opportunity. The door was open. You didn't do it, or you didn't do this, you didn't do that, or you did that, and you shouldn't have done that. But I want to tell you, God's not hindered by any of that. If God says, you're coming out, you're coming out. If God brought Peter out, he's bringing you out. And I'm telling you, he's bringing the church out, because the church is going to be a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, the Bible says. I'm telling you, God is going to have a glorious church. I said, God will have a glorious church when he comes, without spot or wrinkle. I may know we got a few wrinkles. Let's not talk about the wrinkles. My wife has some wrinkle cream. I think I need to use some of it. We got to close this up right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand with me. I'm starting to bore you now, and I don't want to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise him that you're coming out of that prison. You're coming out of that confinement. You're coming out of that which has impeded you. We're coming out of there. And every time the devil does something, I just know it's even more so. He's trying to back me off and tell me, no, it ain't happening. No, it is happening. Cut all the signs off you want. You can't cut me off. Uh-huh. Because we are connected. As you're standing, we close with Psalms 126. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, Zion in the New Testament is a type of the church. Old Testament was Israel. We were like them that dream. Ah, it was like a dream. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, the church. I may know the church has basically been in a captivity. There's no freedom like there's going to be. I said there's no freedom like there's going to be. Yeah, yeah. Mark it down. It's coming. It's on the way. You're on your way. The devil knows. That's why he's trying to back you off. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. You might as well start laughing right now. Just laugh at the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord, the pastor lost his mind. Leave him alone. He's in his own world. He'll be all right. Hallelujah. Woo. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Are you ready for your mouth to get filled with laughter? God is ready to make you laugh. God said, last year, happy shalt thou be. It shall be well with thee. He has not changed his mind. Then was our mouth, God's got a then for you, was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Then I like this, they that sow in tears. I'm telling you, God's seen every tear. Revelation says he's kept every tear in a bottle. Not one that fell to the ground and fell down your cheeks. God has not kept. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. You're going to come again. You'll be back. I said you'll be back. You will come back from that. You will come back stronger. You will come back better. You will be more blessed, wiser, shall doubtless come again. No doubt about it. You are coming again. You are coming back. with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you, bringing where you've sowed, amen, what you've given, all that you've given of your life, every seed you've sown, all you've done, whether it's a mother or a father, grandmother, grandfather, man, woman, says you're going to come again where you sowed. Oh, yeah, you went sowing precious seed. Never doubt your seed was precious to the Lord. You're going to doubtless come again. You're going to bring your sheaves with you. You're going to bring the harvest with you. It's not lost. Those kids are not lost. Your effort is not lost. Your work is not in vain. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. We could go on and on, but enough said. I ask you, Holy Spirit, say the rest. Put the exclamation point where you want it. Bless each and every one that's been under the sound of whatever has come from your spirit, whatever has been your truth, and I felt the witness of the Holy Spirit. So I know I wasn't hyping, telling somebody what they wanted to hear, but what you wanted me to tell them. I want to thank you for what you're doing. We're coming out of those places. Lights are already shining. Angels are already have already been commissioned and sent. They're on their way. Expect to come out. Expect for the chains to fall off. And expect to have a time when you can tell how the Lord brought you out of that prison and how he sent his angel. Father, we thank you now. We praise you. Touch every heart, Lord, I pray, in these final moments. But, Lord, I thank you. With the confidence and the assurance that you're playing the tune, you are playing the music. And I want to thank you for what you're doing for every person, every buddy right now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God praise and thank him. I love you. God loves you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful week. Have a blessed week. And expect God to do great things. Amen.